The recording has started.
Thank you ever so much, Jason. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Next Generation RDS PDP Working Group meeting on Wednesday, 21st of September 2016. In the interest of time today, there'll be no roll call, as there are quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room only, so please remember to sign in with your first and last name. If you're on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now?
This is Beth Allegretti. I'm on the audio bridge, hoping to be on Adobe at some point.
Thank you so much, Beth. Anyone else?
Yes, this is Lawrence from Lawrence Robots. I'm on the audio bridge only.
Thank you, Lawrence. Noted also. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. And also, please keep your phones and microphones on mute without speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn the call back to Chuck. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you very much, Natalie. This is Chuck speaking. Welcome, everyone, to our call today. Does anyone have a statement of interest update? Okay. Doesn't sound like there are any, so we'll go on to what is our main agenda item today. Yesterday, Lisa distributed a draft RDS Statement of Purpose, version 4.1, for the working group to comment on. And that's our main purpose tonight, although we will, at the as agenda item 3, allow time at the end to make sure we start agenda item 3, which will be a beginning discussion of the triaged possible requirements list that was distributed a week ago or so. We're clearly not going to get through that today. We probably won't even finish our statement of purpose, but that's what we'll spend most of our time on, the statement of purpose. Draft statement of purpose is in front of you in Adobe. For those that are not in Adobe, hopefully you have it in front of you since it was distributed to the list yesterday. Note that the draft in front of you is indeed a draft. As agreed in the call last week, the leadership team tried to take into consideration all the contributions that were made last week on the list and draft this statement of purpose. It doesn't include absolutely everything that was contributed, but there were reasons for that, and we're happy to discuss those if you think something critical is missing. Now, my plan on this, although I'm open to suggestions to do it differently, so please raise your hand or speak up if you would like to see us do it a different way, is to go through this draft fairly deliberately, paragraph by paragraph or item by item, and welcome questions, comments, suggested edits. And edits can include deletions, additions, and we'll discuss those. Now, as those of you in Adobe at least can see, we only have about 18 people plus staff members on the call. So we will certainly not try to finalize this, but hopefully we can come up with some edits that will redline and put out to the full group on the list and continue working on it in our call next week. So does anybody oppose to going through this in detail, paragraph by paragraph, item by item? Okay. So let's take a look at the first paragraph. For the sake of the two people that are in, on audio only, I will read the statement, the paragraphs or the item when we before we discuss them, just in case they do not have it in front of them. So the statement starts off, the statement is intended to define the purpose or purposes of a registration data and registration directory service for generic TLD domain names. This statement is grouped into two categories. Number one, overall goals for the statement of purpose, and number two, specific purposes. To ensure that the purposes are understood in the appropriate context, a list of prerequisite conditions of purposes is also provided. So this paragraph basically just introduces the draft statement of purpose and talks about its organization. Now, if somebody doesn't like the way it's organized, please speak up. Anything's in scope for our discussion today. So are there any comments or questions, suggestions, edits in the first paragraph? Go ahead, Jim.
Just a question. This is Jim Galvin for the transcript. To make sure I understand the overarching statement that's going on here, but based on the discussion and the meeting notes, I would say that we a distinction about access from collection, which I think is the distinction that's being referred to here by these two things, by the two categories of purpose. But is this also intended then to say that where we are stating up front and presupposing that access is to be granted to the data? A lot of what the expert working group had done was to talk about existing uses of registration data. So I just want to make sure that I understand the intent here is that we are definitely going to allow access to data. And so a good part of our discussion will be about what access is to be permitted, as opposed to we're taking off the table the idea that it might be possible to not have any access to the data at all. Would that be correct?
Thank you, Jim. It's a really critical question you're asking, and my answer is no, you should not assume that. But and I have a follow-up then. Do you think something – or let me rephrase that. By the way, this is Chuck speaking. Do you think we should make a change to it? What in that paragraph implies that to you so that we can maybe fix that if that's the case?
So I think to simply state outright that there are two categories of purposes, we're drawing a very clear distinction between a data service and a directory service. We're also stating that there are specific purposes for a directory service that will be included. So that's where I'm drawing the conclusion from. I accept from you the comment that nothing is absolute in this. So if that's my interpretation, you're just simply telling me that my interpretation does not have to be accepted at the moment. I don't have a specific change to recommend to you, but knowing that there's still discussion to be had about specific purposes, I'm comfortable with this for right now.
Thank you, Jim. This is Chuck again. Let me say, first of all, that I think I get the impression you're jumping a little bit to the next paragraph, but we'll hold that for now because we will cover that. But notice it doesn't say that the two categories aren't both purposes. The first category is overall goals for this statement of purpose. So it's not intended to be to include purposes. The second category is a category of specific purposes, and we'll of course go through those item by item. Does that make sense, Jim?
For now, yes. Thank you.
Okay. We can come back, as you know. Absolutely. We may find after we go through this whole statement that we want to come back and even group it differently, organize it differently, or change the words we use. So if there are no other comments, we'll move on to the second paragraph. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Thanks, Jim. Again, like I said, that's a very critical question you asked, and I hope everybody understands that, including those who will listen to the recording or look at the transcript later. So the second paragraph then says, note that it is important to make a distinction between the purposes of individual registration data elements versus the purpose or purposes of RDS. i.e., the system that collects, maintains, and provides access to those data elements and services related to them. This purpose statement is intended to focus on the purposes of the RDS as a whole, although some overlap may be avoidable. And this paragraph and others on the leadership team, feel free to jump in if you have comments on this, but really was to make clear what we're stating the purpose for here, because as you recall in our call last week, some of our discussion got into specific purposes for specific data elements, and certainly those are things that we will cover in our deliberations when we look at possible requirements, but the statement of purpose as written right here is designed to be for the RDS as a whole, if there is an RDS, okay? Alex, please jump in.
Yeah, hi, Chuck. This is Alex Deacon. Can you hear me?
I can.
Great. I guess I just want to point out what I think is an inconsistency. If you look at the first paragraph, which I know we went through, it says this statement is intended to define the purposes of registration data and the RDS. But then in the second paragraph, it says the purpose statement is intended to focus on the purposes of the RDS as a whole. So is it both of those concepts, registration data and RDS, or is it just RDS? I guess I'm confused, or maybe not quite understanding at this late time what the focus of this purpose statement is.
This is Chuck, and let me say I fully appreciate the late time because I'm on the East Coast tonight. So I get that. It's a good question. And I'm going to ask Lisa to jump in on this too, because I think the way that's worded was a result of an edit that she suggested. And I see your point. Note though that it says that I don't think it's specifically saying purposes of registration data. I think registration data and a registration directory service kind of go together, but that could be confusing. But let me ask Lisa to jump in and see if she can clarify her thinking in terms of the exact wording in the first sentence.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Lisa Slifer for the record. I do recall actually modifying the paragraph somewhat, but I'm not sure that it came from me originally. The way I read it, though, was that it was trying to point out that there might be very specific purposes for each individual data element, but that the purpose statement was trying to address both registration data as in its entirety, as well as the RDS, the system that collects, maintains, and provides access to registration data in its entirety. So I agree that the way that the paragraph is worded is perhaps a bit confusing, doesn't really get to that point, but I think that was the goal.
Thanks, Lisa, and sorry for blaming you for that if that wasn't you. This is Chuck speaking. So would anybody see a problem with deleting in that first sentence registration data? In other words, say this statement is intended to define the purpose or purposes of a registration directory service for generic TLD domain names. I assume, Alex, that would address your concern. So I'd appreciate it if you confirm that would take care of that inconsistency.
Yeah, Chuck, this is Alex. It would address my concern and clarify things, I believe, nicely.
Thanks, Alex. Chuck again. So anybody object to that? And one of the outputs from this call will be a red line version of the changes that we agree to on this call for full working group consideration. So let me turn to Lisa since she has her hand up.
Thanks, Chuck. As I'm taking notes and I unfortunately missed the proposal that you just made, could you repeat it, please?
Sure. Just delete in the first sentence, delete a registration data there. In other words, it's going to read like this. This statement is intended to define the purpose or purposes of a registration directory service, parens RDS, for generic TLD domain names. You get that?
Thanks, Chuck. This is Lisa Pfeiffer. Yes, I got that. I would point out, though, that change then also would trickle down to the way that the specific purposes are defined. When we get there, you'll want to step back and look at that again, because point one defines a purpose for data, and then point two defines the purpose for the RDS.
Okay. All right. So let's keep that in mind when we move forward. And like we said earlier in the conversation with Jim, we may come back to all of these as we move through this and fix that. Again, this is Chuck speaking. Jim, it's your turn.
Thank you, Jim Galvin, for the transcript. Another question. I'm struck by the phrase, and services related to them, and I'm wondering if we could expand a bit on what that refers to. The sentence makes sense to me, you know, up through these and provides access to those data elements, but I'm not sure, you know, what we're trying to incorporate or add when we use the phrase and services related to them. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Chuck again, and notice we're in the first sentence of the second paragraph here. Let me focus on that. Anybody, while I'm doing that myself, anybody else have a comment? I see some plus ones in the chat. Or I don't know if that was to repeat the proposal or to Jim's suggestion. So I guess obviously one of them is to Alex's comment and not to this. So I assume the other one was too. So let's look at that and provide access to those data elements and services related to them. Jim, would you explain again the concern you have with that?
Well, Lisa gave some examples in the chat room. She talked specifically about a who was or, for example, an R who is kind of service. I think for me, I would prefer that we not have this phrase and services related to them. I'm thinking that those things like who was or are who is are over and above and beyond the basic purpose, the basic system that we're intending to have here. Not that I have an issue with a who was service, but I want to be careful that we're not adding to things which are, I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit. I mean, we're starting, as we look down below, you know, with this life cycle of a domain name and the management of that registration. Well, it's not clear to me that these extra services that are certainly related, but they are over and above and beyond sort of the basic service, which is within our remit. Well, let me say that differently, within ICANN's remit, or within the remit of the life cycle of a domain name and its management. I'm just concerned about opening a door too broadly that isn't part of the core or basic set of things that we should be concerned about. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim, and I'm going to pursue this a little further with you. It's Chuck again. So let me ask you this question. So if we were to decide in our deliberations that certain services were included, then it would, I think, am I correct that we would want to provide access to those services, otherwise we wouldn't offer those services or propose that those services be offered. And before I ask you to respond, Jim, and one way to deal with it would be and provides access to those data elements and any and services related to them, if any. And I don't know if that addresses your concern or and then go back to my first question is if the working group made a recommendation that there are certain services associated with the data elements, am I correct in assuming that we would need to provide access to those services, otherwise they wouldn't be there? So go ahead, Jim.
So thank you, Chuck. I like that suggestion of adding if any. I also want to go into the chat room here, and I see what Alex is writing about. Maybe put that phrase in square brackets as just an indicator to ourselves to come back and revisit it after we've gone through some of the more specific purposes. And I'd like to suggest that at least for the short term here, we do both what you're suggesting, Chuck, and what Alex is suggesting. As a related but separate comment here, Andrew is making the comment about R whois being core in a thin registry. But just so that we're clear here, we're talking only about thick registries here, right? Would that be correct also?
No.
As far as I know, yes, because this is Chuck, there is a consensus policy that's been approved that all registries would be thick. So assuming there's no change in approved consensus policy, that is and I'm not suggesting there would be, that would be correct. And I'm just looking at the chat here.
Anyway, just going back to combining your comment and Alex, I think, would be fine for now as we continue through the rest of this purpose statement.
And this is Chuck. Thanks, Jim. Is there anybody that objects to that? So what we would do is at the very end of that sentence, we would have a comma and then add if any, and we would put in brackets and provides access to those data elements. We put in brackets and services related to them. Okay? So let me, since I misstated that at first, so what would be in brackets is and services related to them, I believe. So I'm not seeing any objections. Let me check the chat. And Michaela, I'm not sure we're assuming that they're treated the same. I don't think that we should assume that. I'm curious why you think we're making that assumption. And again, if there's some language in the draft statement that implies that assumption, maybe we should fix it. You want the, and Jim, you want the if any, that's right, if any would go in the brackets. That's a good point because it wouldn't apply if we didn't do that. Good point, Jim. Thank you. I see that in the chat. Okay, I'm trying. I'm looking at your question, Holly. Why is the registration data collected by registrars under the RAA not covered, or have we missed something? Well, my first, and I welcome other responses to that, and Michaela, I'll come to you in just a second. So first of all, keep in mind that our recommendations in this working group could end up being consensus policies, which could change the RAA in the sense that registrars, and then it would also affect registries, would be required to follow any new policies. So we can't necessarily judge our work by the current RAA. Registry and registrar requirements may change if and when we recommend consensus policy that is ultimately approved by the GNSL Council and finally the ICANN board. Holly, let me, while you're thinking about that, I would like you to make sure that my response made sense. But let's go to Michele because he may have something to add here.
Thanks, Chuck McKayley, for the record. I think this thing about, you know, the thick versus thin, we shouldn't really get into that. I mean, in the context of discussing a policy around the RDS, we're ignoring intent and, you know, not looking at thick, thin and all that. But, I mean, ultimately the idea is this RDS would replace all of that when it comes to the registration data directory. So I would tend towards avoiding any kind of discussions around thick versus thin, because I mean, ultimately a domain is a domain and the registration data for us, it should be the same no matter what type of registry is running its part of the service. Thanks.
Thanks, Michele, and I think that's right. And at the same time, this is Chuck speaking again, I don't want to scare people that we're one of the things that may come out of this are issues like that people are counting on. So, but I think you're right in terms of that. Holly, go ahead.
Thank you, Holly Reich, for the transcript records. I think what I'm hearing from both you and Michele is we're talking about data, not necessarily who collects it, but it's about what is collected, who's accessing the data. And if we are talking about a data independent of whether it's registry or registrar, I'm assuming that what this working group comes up with, based on what you said, is this will cover what is collected by the registries and therefore by the registrars. In other words, are we doing that kind of higher level look at the data, or are we confining this to discussions about registries and missing something that the registrars do under the RAA or as part of their relationship with ICANN? Thank you.
Thanks, Holly. Chuck again, and I welcome other comments. In fact, what I'll do is let Michele jump in first, and then I'll follow up.
Thanks, Chuck. Michele, again, for record. Holly, I can understand why you're asking the question. I think in some respects you're probably framing it correctly. I mean, ultimately, okay, take for example a domain expiry. The definitive answer to the question about when a domain name expires can depend on who you ask, whether you're asking the registrar or the registry. But something like, say, the name servers of a domain name, the registrar might collect that data from the registrant or somebody else, but that data ends up at the registry level. Now, we know that, you know that, but I mean, as far as an average person is concerned, they just want the damn thing to work. So, I mean, all we actually care about is what are the name servers of the domain, whether that data is coming from one place or the other. As long as it's the correct answer, why would it matter?
Okay.
The other thing is be wary of kind of getting too deeply into which data a registry has or which data a registrar has, because as we've said repeatedly, as a registrar, I would have access to a whole load of data about my registrants and about their domain names that is way outside anything that I would ever give to anybody unless they produced court orders or something else. I mean, there's a ton of data that we would have. In the same way, registries would have access to a ton of very sensitive data about things that they're not going to give to somebody else. So, the thing we have to be careful of is, we're talking about data that is required for things to function. There may be requirements under various contracts, but you wouldn't want to end up in a situation where data that currently is not being pushed anywhere outside of the silos where it's meant to be, that's getting pushed somewhere else. That kind of makes sense. Sorry, it's early in the morning. I'm half asleep.
Not for me.
thanks, Michele. I want to follow up with that, Holly, too. This is Chuck. And point out, like we talked very early in our working group discussions, there are, and it's in our charter, et cetera, there are other efforts going on that impact registration data and registration directory service, RDAP, the work going on with RDAP, the thick whois implementation and so forth. So while we're doing this work, there may be things happen and are approved that will change some of the things we know today. They may stay the same, but we shouldn't assume that they necessarily will, because there are efforts happening in parallel to ours that in some cases it's quite likely that they will complete their work before we do, and it may impact this. So thanks for the comments in the chat as well, Holly, in that regard. And Maxim, I don't think we can assume that anything's going to be the same as we know it today. If we were going to finish our work in the next few months, that might be a safe assumption. But that's not going to be the case, and so I definitely don't think we should assume the same that privacy and proxy services work the same way like now. They may, but again, I think we have to be careful about making any assumptions in a period of several years that will probably take this full working group, especially when you consider all phases. A lot of things can happen, and we need to do our work in such a way that, first of all, we're responsive to other things that other decisions or recommendations or policies that are approved, but at the same time recognize that it is a moving target in that regard. Okay. Any other...
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Holly. Appreciate that. So any other questions, comments, edits about the second paragraph, or we can just lump the first two paragraphs together? Note that Lisa is putting those in the – Lisa or Marika, I'm not sure who's doing it – is putting them in the notes over on the right in Adobe. Okay. Note your comment, Jim, and Maxim's agreement with that. Okay. Chuck still speaking. So let's go to the overall goals of this statement of purpose. So as I think I pointed out at the beginning, this particular section is not intended to state purposes of an RDS, but rather to state the goals for this particular statement of purpose. Okay, so please understand that. I'm looking, Fabricio, at your comments, so bear with me a second. And Andrew's comment as well. I don't. If you want to add to what you're saying in the chat, please raise your hand or speak up. Okay. So the first item A in the overall goals of the statement of purpose is to set unambiguous boundaries for RDS policy requirements and RDS consensus policies. Does anybody disagree with that as a goal for this statement of purpose, or would you modify it in some way? Okay, again, lots of good discussion in the chat. I'm not going to try and read it all because there's a lot, unless I see something that really jumps out as important. I apologize to those that aren't in Adobe, but if I was to try and reread everything in the chat, it would really slow us down. So, and again, our task is pretty significant in itself without opening other issues that have already been dealt with in other forums. Now, what happens in those other forums may impact some of what we're doing, but there's no intent to open up, to do the work that's been assigned or in some cases completed by other groups. Okay. Okay, we have some hands. Sorry about that. I was focusing on the chat. Andrew, go ahead.
Hi there. It's Andrew Sullivan, and I'm just going to assume that the hotel network hasn't collapsed. The point that I think we were chasing in the chat that is important, because it follows from Jim's earlier question about services related and so on, is that we have a distinction that is maybe not totally clear from the text, because it created a little bit of confusion so far. And that is, what we're talking about is access to data that's in the registry, and so there are two consequences of that. One of them is, you know, what data you can see given that the registry has collected it. And then there may be a second implication, which is, you know, registries should not collect certain kinds of data. But anything that is outside of this question of data that's already, you know, in the registry under collection policies that are either implied from the work that we do or else already implied by other policies, that none of that is potentially the scope of our work. And I think that would limit the boundary for these related services, which Jim was concerned about.
Thanks, Andrew. This is Chuck again. And just one qualification to what you said. I think it's important that we would qualify what you said by saying registries and or registrars. It's possible that any registration data would be identical in both, but it's also possible at the end game that it might not be the same in both. So that's the only qualification I'd make to what you said.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. you know, I'm naturally a geek, and so I regard all of these repositories, which is actually what they're called in the registry.
A registry. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Specifications are
got it.
And registries. But in fact, we call them repositories for that reason.
Right.
What we're talking about is access to repository data.
Yeah. Good. That covers it. Thanks. Okay. So, no objections to the to item A under overall goals for the statement of purpose. No edits so far. Again, all of these we're going to, of course, come back to, and we're going to put it out to the whole list. So let's go to B, which says a second overall goal for this statement of purpose is to establish minimum criteria for RDS policy requirements and RDS consensus policies. Is that a legitimate goal? Do you agree with it, disagree with it? Would you change it in any way? Now, this is Chuck still speaking. I'm pausing intentionally to allow people to think about it because I suspect since it's only been out there for 24 hours or so, maybe less, for some of you, too, that you may want to reflect on it. So please excuse the pause while we allow thought and people to do that. Thank you, Daniel, for your comment in the chat of agreement. Okay. Certainly, I'll pause longer if people need more time. But let's go to C, which is the third overall goal for the statement of purpose. And by the way, we can add to this list. The leadership team doesn't necessarily think that we covered all the goals, but based on last week's discussion and so forth, we came up with these. Let's go to Alex before we go to C.
Actually, I had a few additions, so maybe we could do C and then come back to me.
Would you prefer doing it that way?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Nope.
Okay. All right. So C then, the third one that's here, is to describe why, specifically and explicitly, an RDS is needed. And then it has a parenthetical there to see the specific purposes below. Alex, do you want me to hold off then on your edits before we and allow discussion on C specifically, or do you want to jump in now?
Whatever is easiest, Chuck. I'm
comfortable either way. So why don't you just go ahead and we'll continue our discussion on C and all three of them, in fact, after your suggested edits.
Yeah, so I think Fab put this in the chat earlier, but I was reading the transcript earlier this week of last week's call, and I think the comment from Steve Metallic was a good one, and we may want to consider adding the criteria that he listed into this overall goals for the statement of purpose. And just to summarize, I think the three criteria that Steve mentioned were that whatever statement we agree to must be such that it can be readily communicated to registrants. That was one. The other one was it must be sufficiently clear to establish a relationship between the purposes of the RDS and the proposed use of data. And then the last criteria he mentioned was that the RDS is going to have many purposes. There's not going to be a single purpose. So I think it makes sense to add those criteria to this list in addition to the three that are there already. They think those, especially those, the point about a statement that could be readily communicated to registrants and a statement that's sufficiently clear to establish this relationship between the purposes and the proposed use of data are important ones.
Thanks, Alex. This is Chuck. Now, look down at the prerequisite conditions for each RDS purpose, and I think we need to delete the of there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's just a minor edit that's needed in that next category, the prerequisite conditions for each RDS purpose. But I think you'll see what Steve shared last week there. Do you think that would be better placed in the overall goals for this statement of purpose, or do they fit in the prerequisite conditions?
This is Alex. I guess I had missed that. I see them now. Thanks for pointing those out. I don't know. I think my gut feeling is that they seem to be overall goals versus prerequisite conditions for each RDS purpose. I guess I need to take a second look now that I see them.
And go ahead and do that. This is Chuck. Another question I have for you while you're thinking about it is, how would you, if they're overall goals for the statement of purpose itself, how would they be incorporated into that section on overall goals for the statement of purpose? Would you add them to one of the three things that there? Would there be new items added? And how would they be worded in that way?
Well, this is Alex. I think I would first just copy and paste them and drag them up to under C. So I would add them to A, B, and to that current three as they are. But as I said, I think I need to take a second look at that. But again,
I believe
they're more overall goals and they're specific to each RDS purpose.
So if we took five under prerequisite conditions and just modified it slightly, maybe taking out the word help, so then an overall goal for the statement of purpose would be to easily communicate the purpose of the RDS to registrants and others, because the registrants have to be told what the purpose is for collecting the data, and I don't think that works. That doesn't sound like an overall goal for the statement of purpose, so it probably needs to be tweaked more than that. So if you can think about how to do that.
Okay.
Because that doesn't sound like an overall goal to me. It sounds like a condition or an objective for the RDS itself, but maybe not a goal for the statement of purpose. Anybody else want to jump in and help with that? Let me watch the chat because I haven't been watching it. Thanks, Lisa, for I didn't see that earlier in the chat. You saw the same thing I did on 5 and 6. So, Lisa, is that a suggestion of it looks like you're making a suggestion as an additional goal under the overall goals. Is that correct? Okay, so we can, anybody object to adding, I guess it would be a D, depending on what we do with Alex's suggestion. We can worry about what the letters are later. But let me just look. Trying to keep up with the chat. And so, Lisa, if you could jump in audibly, I think that would be helpful. I know you're probably taking notes, but it says when you say move from what are you suggesting moving from prerequisites to overall goal? Could you jump in audibly, please?
Sure, Chuck. Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. I understood what Alex was suggesting is that we move points 5, V and VI, move those from prerequisite conditions up into the overall goals section. So my suggestion was to delete V, which is helps to easily communicate the purpose of the RDS to registrants and others. Delete that from prerequisites and then add as a letter D under overall goals to communicate the purposes of the RDS to registrants and others.
Without the following part, because the registrants have to be told what the purpose is for collecting their data?
Yes, I think that's rationale for why that might be a purpose
Okay.
or a goal, right? But it's not the goal itself.
So before pursuing your text comments, Alex, okay, good. Yeah, I was going to ask you, Alex, you answered my question, so that would work. So we'd move the first part, the main part of small Roman numeral 5 there, up and make it D under overall goals and just delete the word help. So it would be to easily communicate the purpose of the RDS to registrants and others. So, any objection to that move? Thanks, Andrew, for joining us as long as you could. That's appreciated. I'm also in a hotel room, but my connection seems to be pretty reliable so far. So, all right. Alex, do we need to do anything else with your suggestion there, or does that cover it in terms of what you were suggesting regarding Steve's input? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this is Alex for the record. I think, again, I would suggest that we also move what is only on the screen, Roman numeral 6, VI, to overall goals, because I think, again, it's a blanket statement that applies to all purposes that we've yet to discuss. So, I would suggest that we move Roman numeral 6 up to the overall goals section, and I think it just needs to be tweaked a little bit. Helps to a maybe we would change it to say to establish sufficient relationship between the purposes and the uses of RDS, make those plural.
Any objections to that move? So that would become E under the overall goals, and we would delete it, item 6, what is now item 6, Roman numeral 6, under the prerequisite conditions. Holly, go ahead.
Is that, not Holly, for the transcript record, is that something that is a goal that we have, or is that a goal just for the statement of purpose? My understanding is we're talking about the statement of purpose. Is that what we're going to do, or is that 6 really a description of what this working group is hopefully going to do? I'm not clear if that's a new purpose for the statement of purpose, our statement of purpose.
Yeah, it's not. Thanks, Holly. It doesn't totally sound to like a goal of the statement of purpose to me, but I could be wrong. But I think it's a good question you asked. Let's jump over to Jim and see what he has to contribute.
So thank you, Jim Galvin, for the transcript, and I like Holly's question. The comment that I really wanted to make was I was thinking I didn't mind moving this up, but I didn't want to pluralize purpose and use, which is something that Alex suggested. I prefer that they be singular. I'm concerned about, you know, opening a door here for things which we'd be focused. Everything else has a singular statement of purpose. So not clear to me why we would suddenly be pluralizing those things up above. But I think after listening to Holly's question, I'm not sure I'm inclined to move 5 and 6 up. That's an interesting distinction about the goal of the purpose versus the goal of the existence of the purpose. So I like your question and not sure I have an answer at the moment.
Thanks, Jim. This is Chuck again. So I'm glad you spoke up and the whole idea. So we obviously have a difference of opinion with regard to whether we should move 5 and 6 up to D and E above. Let me first of all handle what I think is an easier issue. Alex, wherever we leave it on 6, you disagree with Jim in terms of making purpose and use plural.
This is Alex. I mean, I guess it depends. It depends on where we fall and what decisions we make regarding the specific purposes of the registration data. I don't think there's going to be a single purpose there, I assume, and I expect there'll be multiple purposes. So I'm trying to figure out how that's going to work when we come to that point, which clearly isn't now, which will be at some point in the future. But again, maybe it's confusion on my part regarding the nuanced difference between the goals for the statement of purpose and the purpose of an RDS.
Yeah, and they are two different things, so that's important. This is Chuck. Note what we did up in the first two paragraphs, at least with regard to purpose. We put purpose with a parenthesis S following it so that we don't presume there's one purpose or we don't, you know, presume that there would be multiple purposes. So it kind of left it open. Would that work, Jim, for the concern you expressed? If we put purpose parentheses S and use parentheses S, or does that not still? Does your concern still remain? Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I'm being sensitive to not wanting to wordsmith too much here. I do think that there is a purpose for, there is our statement of purpose, which is singular. The fact that there might be some specific multiple purposes on the inside, leave open for the moment. I suspect that's probably fine, Chuck. As you've said before, none of this is permanent just yet, so there's still ample time for some discussion, and I just want to be careful about that at the moment. That's all.
Thanks, Jim. So let's put the parentheses S after purpose and use in what is shown on the screen as 6, and now we need to come back to whether we move those up to overall goals or whether we leave them where they are or put them somewhere else, be very helpful. Now, certainly there are some support for Alex's suggestion in the chat, but Holly questioned it, and Jim also questions whether they should be moved. Can we get some other people to share your opinions on that? See if we can resolve whether to make the move or not. And Lisa, I think your wording there is correct for what we just decided. Thank you. I see Cal typing. Feel free to jump in on audio if you can as well. Anyone? I can do a little poll if you like. I was hoping to get some more thinking on it before we decide what to do, and we may just have to leave that as an open issue, which we can do too. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. Thanks. It's Alex. I guess what I was thinking is, you know, I'm not at all an expert in privacy, but I've listened to enough conversations and soaked in a lot of what Stephanie and us have said, and it seems that, you know, this statement of purpose is key to various, you know, regulations, laws, directives, whatever they're called around the world. So it seems to me that we have to keep that in mind here. When we are creating this statement of purpose, it's really going to be the foundation of everything that happens afterwards. And so, where these things fall, deciding to put them in various sections now, I think we could leave. We could debate these and talk about them, but I think we need to make sure, before we finalize these, that we all have a very clear understanding about what the nuances of these sections are, what they mean, how they affect ultimately how it's going to be used when users' data is collected and eventually used and accessed. Thanks.
Thank you, Alex. Chuck, again, let's go to Jim.
Thank you, Chuck. Jim Galvin for the transcript. So I've been waiting for an opportunity to jump back to talking about item C in the overall goals and the reference to C-specific purposes. And since Alex brought that up, I think this is a good opportunity to do that. As I had said about up above, you know, we have this question of whether or not we're talking about access to the data and whether that's implicitly included, because we do have the phrase in the second paragraph and provides access to those data elements. So now I've been thinking about this a bit more, and I think now I can articulate what concerns me here. So the way that this purpose reads, Chuck, is it suggests to me that we have already answered the question that access will be provided. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I was expecting that, you know, during this phase one that we're in here, as we are focused on the requirements for the data and directory services, one of the very specific questions that we are to answer in this group is whether data should be accessible for any purpose at all, in addition to whether there are specific purposes. And so that's what, in overall, that's one of the things that worries me about this particular statement of purpose. It seems to suggest that we've answered that question because we're stating that access will be provided, and we have not yet even begun a discussion of whether that's appropriate or not. So
Jim, this is Chuck. Let me make a couple suggestions that I think might deal with your concerns. So if we go back up to the second paragraph, what if we were to change that IE there in that first sentence to a system that may collect, maintain, and provide access? And then in C, we could change it to, instead of to describe why specifically and explicitly an RDS may be needed.
Does that actually help?
Go ahead.
It doesn't for me, and I'll tell you why. It's because I think what concerns me here is I like the separation between, you know, collects and then access. So you've got collects and maintains versus access. I think that distinction is actually quite useful to make. And it seems to be described that way really in our charter, you know, that particular distinction. And I like the fact that we've made that. What's important to me is you can't access the data if you haven't collected it. So the notion that I may collect and yet I'm still allowing, you know, for the idea that I might provide access, just being the logical technologist that I am, that sort of statement doesn't make sense. I would much prefer that we separate these two things and these two sets of issues. There's an issue of the purpose of registration data, so meaning why we collect it and why it's present. And then separately, we have this question of, you know, are we to provide access to it and under what circumstances and why? And I think that those are two different things. And, you know, now having stepped back and listened to some of this discussion here and look at some of the stuff that's here, I'd almost prefer that we separate this into two things and we take all discussion of access out of this statement of purpose and make that a separate discussion and a separate document. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jim. Okay, let's listen to some others. This is Chuck. Holly, go ahead.
Thank you, Holly Reich, for the transcript. I was going to suggest something different. The system that collects, maintains, and provides or denies access to some or all of those data elements. And what that does is open up the possibility of both access and denial of access. And it also highlights the fact that some data elements may be available more widely than others. Now, I guess I can ask Jim, does that deal with your problem?
Go ahead, Jim.
I would say that for now, yes, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Let's go to Rod before we finalize any edits here for now anyway. Rod, go ahead.
Hey, hello, this is Rod Rasmussen. Just, you know, listening to what's going on here and thinking about the reasons we're trying to be very careful in parsing things. And I tend to agree that there's kind of there's some primary purpose things, and then there's all these other things that are related and the like, and we're trying to kind of throw things in buckets, and we're all approaching it from different ways. One of the things I think that is driving the current conversation being precise, though, is that we've all become aware that there's this issue around data protection law that has changed in the last 20 years dramatically, and that we have to be careful in forming, you know, the purposes of doing things so that it relates back to, you know, being legal for collecting, distributing, providing access, et cetera, under various data protection regimes. My question is, is that our role here, right? Or are we, so when I say that, is like at the final end of the day, whatever is actually published by ICANN itself, the organization, with respect or with review by its legal team, will be whatever actually backing any sort of RDS, and because that's the official capacity, right? And I'm not sure how GNSO or other policy statements actually relate to how the final end, you know, so we have our kind of rationale on why we're doing this, but then there's the, okay, we're doing this very carefully so we don't want to follow data protection law. Do we even have to worry about that level of refinement at our level or not? And I don't know if there's any of our esteemed data protection colleagues on the call that could answer that question. But I pose that as I think we may be getting into the weeds where we don't have to in order to take care of a perceived future problem. Thanks.
So if there, this is Chuck. If, thanks, Rod. If there are any data protection experts or even data protection proponents on the call that want to respond to that, please raise your hand or speak up if you're not on in Adobe. That would be great. Holly, do you want to jump in?
Look, I'm going to listen to Michele first, and I think he'll probably cover it very well. He lives under the directive. I only know about it. So
Thanks, Holly. This is Chuck. Go ahead, Michele.
Okay.
Thanks, Michele, for record. Thanks, Holly. I'm trying to understand what Rob's question actually was, because, Rob, are you asking, do we have to be concerned with data protection concerns, or are you asking something more specific?
Yes.
Rambled a little, and I wasn't sure what the exact question was.
Sorry. For me, it's a little late, and for you, it's early, so that's a bad combo. Ms. Rod Rasmussen.
Especially with you two guys.
We usually settle this over beers. I'm looking at this. We seem to be getting very, and I agree that it's being very precise in what we're trying to define as good. I have the feeling that one of the things we're trying to accomplish with our statement of purpose here is to create what I would call the legal basis for how data protection authorities look at whatever ends up coming out of this. And so my question is do we need to worry about that part of the language here, or is that really some legal review team needs to do that to make sure everything's kosher at the end of the process? Does that make more sense to you?
Okay, and I think I understand what you're asking. First off, if we were to spend a 24, 36, whatever number of months.
You're breaking up, Michele.
There's this noise coming from somewhere. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. If we were to spend 36 plus months on this, and then a legal review was to state that everything we had done was illegal, that would be a major problem. I think somebody's got a line that's giving a lot of noise. I'm hearing that. It's not coming from me as far as I know. To Rod's thing, I think what we need to be is to be conscious of data protection restrictions and requirements. The thing with data protection, it's not so much a question of wonderful noises now. It was not so much a question of whether the data can be collected or not. It's
I can RDS call, and it is critical. So what can I do?
Somebody needs to be on mute.
Well, it's going to leave at 4, but it's going to 4.
Sorry. I think, the thing is, collecting the data isn't much of an issue. It's what you do with the data under data protection law. I mean, here in Ireland, for example, we are bound by the Irish and European law, so we have to if we're going to hold on to data for a period of time, we need to have a clear purpose for why we're holding it, plus the permission and everything else. This shouldn't be an issue. It's just if you make assumptions that you can do anything and everything possible under the sun with any and all data, that it becomes a problem. So to kind of answer your question, I don't think it should be a blocker. It's just something that people should be conscious of. Now, at the same time, some more extreme privacy advocates might try to push for things that just simply aren't going to work, because they're saying that anonymity is possible. While that might be something that people might like to have, I mean, in reality, legally speaking, it doesn't need to be. That's just my own personal opinion. Thanks.
Thanks, Michaela. This is Chuck. Now, I'm going to have to draw this discussion for now to a close for this meeting, not for the not in total. Okay, we're going to have to pick this up next week because we want to spend a little bit of time on the triage list of possible requirements at the end of this meeting. So my suggestion, Lisa, in terms of Alex's suggested moves, is that we show those as in brackets as a move under overall goals, but leave them in brackets under 5 and 6 as well. I am confident that you can figure out a way to make that fairly clear in terms of a red line version that we'll send to the whole group after this call. Just noting, maybe with comments, that we did not resolve whether the move should happen, and also probably noting something about Rod's comment and the discussion that followed, that we're going to have to continue that in our call next week. So sorry to cut this off, but I think we're a ways from reaching resolution on Alex's suggestions as well as Rod's concern and how we deal with that in this statement of purpose. So sorry to cut it off here, but let's move to now. So the action item then for staff is to send out a red line based on what we did in this meeting for discussion on the list by the full working group and continued discussion next week, including picking up where we left off on these two issues. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. So let's go now to the triage possible requirements. And Lisa, I'm not sure how you want to do this in terms of displaying. You did a nice job last week of showing some subsets or summary of the triage list because it's huge. Lisa, let me turn it over to you or Marika, whichever one of you wants to take the lead on the triage list. And let's get that up there. And we're not going to go through the triage list, everyone. We're just but we asked last week that everybody start to review this, and we fully understand that you may not have had time to review it all. But we hope you will in the next week or two so that we can begin to refine this. Lisa, you want to jump in, and I don't know if we want to jump to the question mark items that are identified in the list and maybe talk about those. I'll be glad to let you take the lead. Before you do that, VA, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Sorry about the music. I was driving at that time, just reached work. So the network's good. Okay, weather for the record. Now, my question is very simple. Michele pointed it out, and I wanted to just share this, that if the WHOIS data is openly available in the public for sale and purchase and soliciting business at the registrar level or certain registry level as well today, then shouldn't the statement of purpose include the privacy issue separately in a entirely separate discussion, as Jim Galvin also proposed earlier, that it should be discussed separately? You know, I'm of this opinion, and I was under this impression that registrars cannot solicit business basis the WHOIS data. And Fabrico and Michele both tell me that that's not right, and Michele does it all the time. So I don't know. I'm a little bit confused here. And in last half an hour, Holly also pointed out a question that whether this purpose is to define the statement of purpose. I think we haven't visited that question at all. So I'm a little confused here. If you know, if you can help me get back on the stream. Thank you.
Okay, we can't spend very much time on this. I apologize for that, BA. I'll let McKaylee respond if he can do it very briefly, but we're going to have to pick up on that. So if you could, Lisa and Marika, if we
sure.
could capture VA's questions so that we follow up on that as well as Rod's issue and Alex's issue next week, I would appreciate that. McKaylee, can you be very brief?
Yeah, sure, I'll be brief. Two things. One, the question you originally asked was about people, about the selling and or trading in WHOIS data and stating that that was illegal. I mean, the reality is that whether, I'm not sure whether it's illegal or not anywhere, it might be in some places, but realistically speaking, there's a ton of services that allow you to buy WHOIS data, and they're perfectly functional, and they've been operating in business for years. I think what you might be talking about is around specific requirements in the RAA. I mean, this is something that I've raised multiple times in the past. There's one section of the RAA, which I think Vaibhav is referring to, where it talks about the registrar's obligations not to do this and not to do that and to protect certain data. But at the same time, there's a whole load of other requirements which are in many respects can be seen to be in conflict with that. It's not a simple question, but stating that trading or doing anything with WHOIS data being that it's illegal, I think that might be a misunderstanding. Thanks.
Thank you, McKaylee, and we're going to have to move on now to the, because we just have a few minutes left, at least to, well, I don't think we're going to have time to have any meaningful discussion on the triage requirements. At a minimum, what the leadership team wanted to do was to reinforce what we asked last week, that everybody should be reviewing this, because we're going to have to finalize this triage list so that we can start deliberation. So if you haven't started doing that, please do that. And let me ask Lisa to jump in. Notice that she's put on the screen some items in the triage list that we're questioning whether or not they should even be possible requirements. And as you can see, these are not located in one place. Lisa, is it? I assume it's not too difficult to just send out these question mark items. People can go back and find them in the full document, whether it be using the Excel spreadsheet, which has now been distributed, or the Word version. But one thing I'd like to suggest, if nobody's opposed to this, that we talk about these next week after we continue discussion on the purpose statement. So if another action item then for staff would be able to send this little subset that's on the Adobe screen right now out to the full working group with the task to review these, to see whether people think that they should remain in the possible list of requirements or not. We're not going to have time to discuss that today, but if nobody objects, and I'm open to objections, but if nobody objects, we'll handle it that way. Lisa, does that work for you?
Thanks, Chuck. This is Lisa Pfeiffer. Yeah, that works just fine. This was a quick and dirty, you know, extract from the spreadsheet to pull out the items that were question marked. And I should just want to underscore they were question marked not because we're debating whether they should or shouldn't be requirements, but that we couldn't find any relevance to registration data and the RDS specifically. And so that's really the question. Does someone in the working group see that it is, in fact, relevant to the RDS and should therefore stay in the list that gets deliberated upon?
Thank you very much, Lisa. So everyone has an action item then to review these before our next call. because the plan will be to, on the second part of our agenda, to try and go through these and make decisions in that regard as a working group. Okay. Any questions about that assignment for all working group members? And let's make sure that those not on the call are clear about that request for review of these items. And again, please continue to review the overall triage list. Make sure we haven't left out something, and we'll try to do a more deliberate review of it on future calls so that we can get that ready for our deliberation. Okay, Lisa, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. And just one additional request, which is those of you who still have outstanding assignments for documents to pull possible requirements from, we do still have, I think it's about half a dozen documents we're waiting for those inputs from. And because they were flagged as high importance, it would be really helpful to either have those possible requirements submitted, or if you don't think you're going to get to it, let us know, and we'll seek another volunteer.
Thanks for that reminder, Lisa. This is Chuck. Note that our meeting next week will be at the regular time. Thanks to those of you who endured this meeting and participated actively in spite of being in the middle of the night for some of you. That's much appreciated. Members like Holly very much appreciate the ability to do the meeting at a decent time, and we need to respect that and give them at least one meeting a month where it's not so bad for them. So thanks to everybody. I think we got a good start on the purpose statement. We obviously have quite a bit more work to do, and we will do that. I encourage you to, once the red line goes out, to continue the discussion on the list, and then we'll pick it up in our meeting next week. Is there anything else we need to cover in this meeting before we adjourn? Okay. Well, thanks again, everyone. Hopefully we'll be communicating on the list and again next week when we meet. Have a good rest of the day or night or whatever it is for you. And at this time, we will adjourn the meeting and the recording can be stopped.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for taking part, everyone. This concludes today's call. Jason, you may now stop the recordings.